2 Peter chapter number 3 tonight. And let's get into the Word of God. See if the Lord will help us again. I'm going to be honest with you. I ain't complaining, but I'm tired tonight. Amen. Y'all preached this boy to death this morning. And I say y'all did. The Holy Ghost did. And I appreciate the way the Lord put the service together this morning. We do need help and another word from God for tonight. And so let's jump into this. I may not spend a great deal of time. I'm going to try not to spend a great deal of time rehearsing some of the things we've already studied. And I'd like to get as quick as we can back into 2 Peter, where we want to look to again tonight. If you're willing and able, let you stand with us. Stretch your legs a moment and give reverence to reading of God's Word. Just one verse tonight, and we'll get right after it. The closing verse of this epistle, 2 Peter 3, verse number 18. Peter said, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Amen. You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, we need your help. I do ask you to send it tonight. May the Word of the Lord have free course and liberty to move in each of our hearts. May there not be one hindrance tonight, Lord, within us or about us. Lord, I pray you'd settle down any and every distraction. And Lord, I pray when all is said and done, may the Lord Jesus, Lord, be exalted and magnified and have preeminence in this service to do his work and will in our life. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We begun several weeks ago a series of thoughts that we are basing out of Proverbs chapter number 2, where Solomon, encouraging his son how to live in the guidelines and the commandments of the Lord, that he would bind the law of God about his neck, that he would not live his life as the heathen lives, but that he would set his mind upon the Lord to honor the Lord in all that he done. And in that chapter in Proverbs 2 and in verse number 5, Solomon said, if you'll do this, you will find the knowledge of God. And so we've been dealing with that subject of the knowledge of God and how we need the knowledge of God in our day. Every generation, every individual of human history is benefited by having that knowledge of God found and brought to them and exposed to them and embraced by them. By the knowledge of God, we understand that's a big subject in the Word of God. It has much to say about the knowledge of God and us finding it and walking in it. But when we find it in Proverbs 2 and throughout the Word of God, we understand it means literally to have discernment and insight of that. We would have discernment of God. We would have insight of God, about God. We would know something about our God, our Creator. It has with it the notion of a knowledge. It comes by way of an encounter and experience and through relationship. Really, the idea of relationship is what is behind this matter of finding the knowledge of God, that you are in relationship with God, that you know God on a personal level. He knows you and you know Him. And that is the foundation of all that finding the knowledge of God entails, and how we need to have encounters and experiences with God in our relationship with Him that reveals to you and I more and more of who this God is that saved us or would be your Savior if you're lost tonight, and to have more knowledge of this God that made us and created us and loves us and is at work around us on every hand, and we'd have an awareness in about our God in our lives as He brings encounters of Himself and experiences of Himself into our lives. And so we are looking at this idea of the knowledge of God, the subject of the knowledge of God. We have studied it and found that when we consider the knowledge of God, that the knowledge of God is known by grace. It takes grace to bring an introduction of the knowledge of God into our life. You'll never know God by force. We've studied that. You'll never come to know God by your pedigree. You'll never come to know God based upon the marriage that you had laid out before God. You'll never earn it. You'll never work for that knowledge. And so we come to the conclusion that it is the grace of God that appears to men. And that grace, it brings salvation. In that salvation, there is a revelation of the knowledge of God. And we use John 17:3 in Jesus' high priestly prayer, where Jesus was praying and said that this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And that is grace. That is grace at work in our life when we're in sin, having gone astray, having turned every one of us to our own way, in a life void of knowledge, void of understanding, void of any interest in God. It is grace that meets us where we are and brings with itself that knowledge of the Holy One, that you and I might come to know Him in the realms of being saved by the grace of God. And I won't re-preach all that, but grace did provide the means to know God. It produced the manifestation to know God. And we ended on grace is what procures the miracle to know God. The fact that God would take out of us that old heart that was bent away from God and put within us a new heart. And that new heart has a knowledge of God within it. I'm glad for grace tonight that's been at work in my life. Amen, bringing me into the knowledge of God. We come now to this second epistle to Peter again tonight, as we started it on last week. And have a little bit of grace on me. Amen, it is three chapters. You knew there'd be no way we'd preach it all in one service. But we began to look at it here as Peter deals with the knowledge of God in all three chapters. He'll deal with it in chapters 1, verse 2, 3, and 8, chapter 2, and in verse number 10. And then the ending verse of this epistle, as we read it again tonight, in chapter 3 and in verse number 18. And there's no less than 15 times in these three chapters that Peter is going to deal with and bring us into this subject matter, using words such as knowledge, know, knowing, and known as they appear in his writing. The fact that in chapter number 1 and in verse number 2, Peter said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. He begins his writing talking about the knowledge of God. And then in the closing verse, as we have it in the Word of God tonight, he said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so it begins with the subject of the knowledge of God. It ends with the knowledge of God. And many, many other times he's going to deal with it through these three chapters, the knowledge of God. And so this is, I've never seen it before in this regard, Brother Larry. I've preached from 2 Peter many times and somehow just didn't ever see it till I began this study. That this really is the theme of what Peter is writing about. He's writing about New Testament believers, that they would have a knowledge of God. Now, it seems that the main takeaway of his book in writing about this subject, and it all comes to a head in the closing verse as we are challenged in our reading of it again tonight, that we are to grow in the knowledge of our Lord, that grace introduced us to the knowledge of God, and yet we'll never know all there is to know about God. His ways are past finding out. His ways are higher than our ways. He, my friend, when we think about God and theology and the study of God and what could be known about God tonight, there's no way that our mortal minds and our human minds could ever comprehend and possess and contain a full knowledge of who God is. Amen. Thank God grace got us on the path. Grace got us introduced to the knowledge of God. But now that I've been brought into relationship with Him, there lays upon my life
a certain measure of responsibility that I would nurture a spiritual atmosphere where I'm growing in the knowledge of God. Amen. Grace is what begun it, and salvation's where I met the Lord, but I am to be growing in that knowledge. And so Peter said, I want you to grow. Amen. The word grow meaning to enlarge, to increase, to exceed. It indicates an advancing by degrees and by phases. To grow is to be moving forward and to be moving upward. And so Peter is challenging us. He's commanding us. He is laying upon us a responsibility in our life. That as we have been given grace to know God, and we would take that grace and we would be advancing and increasing and growing, enlarging and thriving and exceeding, that we'd not be knowing less of God, listen now, and not that we would be knowing the same of God year after year, amen, but that we would be moving forward and we would be moving upward in our knowledge of God. Amen. And so we would ask the question tonight, am I moving forward and am I advancing upward? Am I advancing by any measure, any degree, any phase spiritually in my knowledge of God? And so we'll not take the time as we did last week. Peter's not the only writer in the epistles that would deal with this. Paul would deal with it in the church of Colossae, talking to them about increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. And how he would go on to explain, we dealt with it last week, that involved in this thing, he said, is a new man that must be renewed in knowledge, that it is renewed. There must be a renewing, a renovation, a new beginning, in which the quality of something is made better. And so this idea of a knowledge of God as we're growing in it, increasing in it, means that, my friend, we are becoming better because of the knowledge we have of God. And there is a better quality of our spiritual life. As we learn more of God, we have a better quality Christian life to live our faith out in this ungodly world. And so using 2 Peter and it being an emphasis, a point of emphasis, on the knowledge of God, and in particular the theme or the major takeaway, the closing thought that Peter has about all that is written about the knowledge of God is simply this, amen, you be growing in the knowledge of God. And so we've seen the grace in the knowledge of God, the grace of knowing God, but we're studying now the growth in knowing God. And we got the first point preached on last week, the diligence of growing in the knowledge of God. And this is found in chapter number 1 where Peter said you've got to give all diligence, giving all diligence. In 2 Peter 1 and in verse number 5, he said, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And he goes through a list of things that we must be diligent to add to our knowledge of God. Amen. Faith is one how we know God. Faith is how we live for God in that knowledge we have. But we must be diligent to add to our faith. Diligence meaning simply eagerness and earnestness. It means to urge on, having the notion of to transact and finish. And so diligence is to be in constant effort to accomplish what has been undertaken. That if we're being diligent in our spiritual life about the knowledge of God and the growth that we need in it, that we are always putting forth effort to know God in greater ways. Amen. That means we get in the Bible and we read it daily. That means we get in the secret place and spend time in the presence of God. And that means every experience that we have in life, that we're constantly observing, what can I learn about God through this situation and through this, maybe it's a tragedy, maybe it's a trial, Maybe it's even a triumph that we would be living our lives constantly saying, I want to take away out of this experience of life a greater knowledge of God. That takes effort. It takes work. It takes setting out to realize there's never anywhere we can let up or get comfortable in the knowledge that we have. There's always something more to have knowledge of God in. And so to be diligent is to exert both body and mind without unnecessary delays or slothfulness in our spiritual life. And so we preached on the diligence and really working and really putting forth an effort. It takes effort. It ain't just gonna fall out the sky. If you're going to grow in the knowledge of God, it's going to take, amen, some effort and some work on our part. Now, this evening, I want us to consider chapter 2 and chapter number 3, and I think we can be done pretty quick tonight, but notice with me the danger of not growing in knowledge of God. We see the diligence of growing in the knowledge of God, but when we come into chapter number 2, Peter is going to begin to sound a warning to the believers that he's writing to. He's going to begin this second chapter signaling to them that there are false prophets, that there are those that have entered in among the people of God that are going to claim to know God, but they do not know God. They're going to sit down at your tables. They're going to hold your hand. They're going to sit in your worship services. They'll help you sing your songs. But mark it down, Peter said, they're going to be false prophets. They're going to be people that claim to know God, and yet they have no knowledge of God. In fact, in their heart, whether they have been exposed yet or not by saying it out loud, at the very least, he said they denied the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. He said that they have pernicious ways. He'll write about how they have presumptuous ways and they have an audacity of boldness about their life. And they really don't care what anybody thinks about how they live. And they live a life that is void of knowledge of God. Therefore, it is void of being able to live their life in judgment and discernment about the right way. Because really, at the end of the day, they have no desire to do what is right. And it shows up in their life. And Peter deals with the fact and he exposes them through the first part of this chapter. He reminds them or exposes them, reminding us of them by exposing them, that they speak evil of dignitaries. They have no regard for authority. They, my friend, rail and bring accusations that they're natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. He'll talk about them in really derogatory terms, that he is not trying to get along with them. He's not trying to, amen, make them feel like that he likes them. He knows what they are, and he calls them out for what they are. He said that they are presumptuous. They have this boldness in evil. They have a boldness that is against God. He said, I tell you about them, they have eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. Verse 14, he said, beguiling unstable souls. He talks about even their heart, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices. And Peter calls them cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray. And he'll illustrate that with the way of Balaam. They have followed the way of Balaam, who had a love for the wages of unrighteousness. And what is Peter doing? He is reminding them that though they are saved, there is a crowd that is out to draw you away. Back in verse number 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. And so these false prophets, these false believers, these that are acting like they're in the way, that have gone out of the way and astray from the way, Peter is sounding the alarm and giving warning about them for what they are. Now this evening, what does that have to do with you and I? Remember now, Peter is largely concerned with true believers walking in and growing in the knowledge of God. I want to say tonight that the antidote, the obstacle, amen, that we can use to stand between us and the false prophets and false believers and ways and wages of unrighteousness and the influences that are all around us to draw us away from God and the right way and the knowledge of God, is that you and I would be growing in the knowledge of God. Amen. And so Peter is giving in chapter number 2 the dangers of not growing in the knowledge of God. How are we exposed tonight? What are we exposed? What are we in danger to if we are not growing in the knowledge of God? Well, let me give you 3 things here in the end of the text. Amen. Consider in verse number 18, Brother Tim, when we are not growing in the knowledge of God, we stand in danger of allurement. Amen. The Bible said, for when they, that is all this crowd he's been blasting for 17 verses, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. In other words, Peter is saying you need to be careful. There is a danger when you quit growing in the knowledge of God, when you get casual, when you get comfortable, when you think, well, I know a lot more about God today than I knew 10 years ago, and so I'm good, I'm all right, I know more about God than so-and-so. My friend, you expose yourself to the danger of allurement. There is a generation tonight that would love nothing more than to allure you away from the faith, allure you out of the way of righteousness, to draw you outside of the knowledge that God has given you of himself and of his word. And Peter uses a strong word here, they allure. We think about allure. I think about this evening. Its definition meaning to entrap, to entice, and to beguile. In other words, they set a lure out there. They give you something to draw you in through an attraction that they place before you. This evening, let's be honest about it. There's a lot of allurements that are in the world tonight. There's a lot of people out there calling to you and that. They do it on every hand through TikTok videos, through Instagram posts, amen, through all sorts of social media. Everybody is casting out allurements that are designed to draw you away from the knowledge of God, and draw you away from the life you've been saved to live. I want to say tonight, child of God, you can't ever quit growing. Don't ever become satisfied. Don't ever lose your diligence. My friend, because there's a danger tonight in the world you and I live in, they're going to do all they can to allure us away from God. Amen. Peter said they'll start speaking great swelling words. They'll use flatteries. They'll whisper in your ear. Amen. They'll, my friend, tell you how much they love you and regard you and how much they desire you and how they can't live without you. Amen. Peter said, you better be careful, amen, because what's coming out of their mouth, amen, it is great swelling words, but it is words. It is enticements and allurements through words that are void and empty. That's what he said. Amen, swelling words of vanity. There's no substance to it. There's nothing life-giving to it. It's just lifeless communication. And this evening, I would tell us again tonight, amen, that never quit growing in the knowledge of God. Because when you do, you stand in danger of being allured, enamored, drawn away, and influenced by wantonness and by evil men who live in error. Amen, by drawing you away into the way that they live. Amen. Time would not give us, we wouldn't have enough time tonight. Time would not permit us to stand here and testify all night long that after 23 years of pastoring, how many people I've watched get allured away. Amen. Drawn away, enamored with the wrong person, allured by the wrong thing. Allured by some form of entertainment. Amen. And it was all designed from the very get-go to rob them of their relationship with God. Amen. That's right. So the danger of not growing in the knowledge of God, we stand in danger of allurement. Number two, and these I guess are progressive, that we not only stand in danger of allurement, but we stand in danger of enslavement. Say, so what do you mean? Notice verse number 19, while they promised them liberty. Here's what the false prophets, here's what the false believers say. Well, if you'll follow me and come my way, you'll be able to do all the things you want to do. You don't have to worry about righteousness. You don't have to worry about, amen, all those rules and regulations and standards. By the way, let me say tonight, standards are for the carnal man, not the spiritual man. We got to have standards. I've said it before. I don't mean it mean. I understand how it comes out, and I don't mean it degrading. And again, I understand how it comes out. But we got to have certain standards. If we didn't, people would be coming in naked tonight. There's some standards and rules that are part of the Christian life, not to earn salvation, not even to earn favor with God, but they stand as boundaries and guardrails to keep you and I from making a mess out of our life. Amen. We have liberty tonight in Christ. Our liberty does not come and is not experienced by being able to do everything we want to do. Liberty has never been a license to sin. And here's what Peter said. If you don't keep growing in the knowledge of God, what is going to happen is there's going to be influences that come into your life, and they're going to promise you liberty. They're going to promise you that you can tattoo your body up and you can drink a little wine in social gatherings and you can have this liberty to, amen, run here and run there in venues that have nothing to do with the knowledge of God. In fact, they're a detriment to the knowledge of God in your life. And you'll be thinking because, amen, they have promised you liberty that that's what you're going to have. But Peter said what you're really going to wind up in is bondage. I didn't write it. You can't get mad at me. It's always amazed me, and I'm preaching to you tonight. I ain't preaching to the people, amen, that have left ministries and all of that. But you be careful, this crowd that leaves the church, and we got a long way to go. I ain't telling you we the pinnacle. We got a long way to go because I know the pastor pretty good, and he's got a long way to go. We all got a long way to go. But when people leave an old-fashioned Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Jesus-lifting, amen, holiness, amen, promoting church, and then they start making statements like, oh, I found liberty. I found liberty. Amen. Where I'm going, they don't say nothing about whatever their thing is. Amen. I got news for you. They did not find liberty. They do not have the foresight and the knowledge of God to understand they have been brought back into bondage. Amen. Amen. How we doing? Amen. He said, for if after they have escaped through the pollution of the world, through what? Here it is now, the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They are again entangled. Notice the language he's using, entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. I'm going to tell you a danger when you're not growing up in the knowledge of God tonight. There is a danger that you began to be enslaved to the same things the Lord set you free from. Amen. God never intended to save us and set us in liberty and to work in our life and grow us in our knowledge of God, only for us to go back to where God saved us out of. Amen. I don't ever want to be enslaved to that old man again. Amen. When I met Jesus, the Bible said, amen, you shall know the Son, and the Son shall make you free. Amen. He that has the Son, the Jesus said, is free indeed. Amen. I found my freedom and spiritual liberty the day grace brought me a knowledge of God. That's where my liberty is. That's where my freedom is. I don't ever want to become entangled and overcome again with those things of my former life. Amen. And so many draw back. So many, my friend, go back, and they're going, and amen, we'd say they're growing backwards, but if you're growing backwards, you're not growing at all. Amen. God, keep us from bondage. God, keep us from becoming entangled. The word that Peter uses, it stands out to me in verse number 20 in this scenario is, not only are you entangled therein, but he said, if you're not careful, you'll become overcome. Amen. Don't want to be overcome. Overcome means you've been defeated. If you overcome someone, you have defeated someone. You've overcome something. You have defeated something. And Peter said, if you're not careful to take great diligence to grow in your knowledge of God, here's the danger you stand in. It is a danger that your life begins to be defeated and the enemy is able to enslave you to sin. Amen. Tonight, there's so many believers that are entangled tonight. Was it Paul that said to Timothy that no man that warreth a good fight entangleth himself with the affairs of this world? Is that right? That's my version of it. Amen. That's a paraphrase. Paul talked about not entangling yourself with the affairs of this life, this world. So, preacher, how do I keep from doing that? You got to be growing in your knowledge of God. Amen. Notice with me, there's a danger of allurement, a danger of enslavement. There's a danger of defilement. I could go deeper into all these. I'm about to end here in just a moment. A danger of defilement. He said in verse 21, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. And Peter here quotes Proverbs 26:11. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Peter said, you better keep growing in the knowledge of God. Amen. Because if you don't, there is a danger that your life can experience a defilement. And may I remind us all tonight, now you can do with this what you want. Amen. If you're saved tonight, thank God for it. But if you're saved, you still have an old man that is as wicked and full of flesh as has ever been. There's an old man on the inside of you, even if you're saved tonight, that desires the same old dog things that you once lived in. There's a sow, there's a hog in the inside of us called our flesh that longs for the mire one more time. Amen. Now, you can say what you want. I don't have much tolerance. I'll try to help people if they really want help. But this sinless perfection business, I ain't got no tolerance for this crowd, amen, that's gone off in the ditch on that. As I'm telling you, amen, you say, well, preacher, if you're saved, you're supposed to live for God and live holy. And if you come to this church, you know we preach that. Here's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. If you don't give diligence to grow in your knowledge of God, they ain't no telling what you'll do by the time this week is over. I've watched them stand up in churches and brag. Let me word it this way. Go to try to give a testimony, and all it was one big brag on everything they would and wouldn't ever do in their life. And I've watched them get full of pride and think they had everything just buttoned up real good. And they quit growing in the knowledge of God, thought they knew more than the preacher knew, thought they knew more than elders in the church knew, thought they knew more than God himself knew. So what happened? Pride always goes before destruction. The haughty spirit every time before a fall. And I've watched some of them, Brother Gerald, who said they'd never do things that are doing the things they said they'd never do. Amen. I've watched some of them come back out of that broken and a lot more humble, saying, I wish I'd have never said that. I got way too big for my britches. Amen. So I'm going to tell you something tonight. There is a danger of defilement. I do not want to defile the temple of God. I don't want to defile my testimony. I don't want to defile my relationship with the Lord tonight, my fellowship with Him. And the danger of not growing in the knowledge of God is that it always leads away from righteousness, and it always leads to sin. It's what Peter's telling them. You better not ever get to the place in your life where you say, I've got enough, I don't need any more, because now you're in danger, defiling yourself with sin. Number three, and I'm done tonight, we see the diligence of growing in the knowledge of God. We see the dangers of not growing in the knowledge of God. We come now to the closing verse that we've kind of used as a springboard to get back into everything Peter has covered thus far on the subject of the knowledge of God. Notice what he said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I want to say just a word, and I mean I'm done. Notice the drive to growing in the knowledge of God. I said, preacher, what do you mean drive? I mean the motivation. What keeps us motivated as a child of God? What ought to be the inspiring factors that keep us putting forth the effort to grow in the knowledge of God? Now, what's motivating some or has through the days, maybe all of us at certain times or another, is the accolades of men, the pats on the back, the attaboys. Amen. Man, you know a whole lot about God kind of testimony said about our life. Some people are driven by the accolades of men. Amen. Some are driven by diverse and many different things, manifold things tonight. Can I show you in the verse what I think Peter said ought to be the drive to growing in the knowledge of God? Here's how the verse ends. To Him, that is Jesus Christ, to Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. And so this closing sentence of this epistle, no doubt, Brother Riley, it is connected to the whole of Peter's letter and everything that he has said. But it's no coincidence that it is inserted, here's the closing line, following what has just been said, following the challenge that has just been given. And so it is very particularly connected to our growing in the knowledge of God. Amen. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory now and forever. Our drive, here's my point tonight, Brother Kendall, our drive to grow in the knowledge of God better be the glory of God. We're not doing it so that we can seem and appear and be or look to be super spiritual in the congregation. Our drive to grow in the knowledge of God, it shouldn't be so that, we can write all the books on every subject that, and I'm not against writing. We ought to write. We ought to be willing to share and testify and be a blessing to others that God would let us sit down and minister to because of the growth that we've had in the knowledge of God. But if you ever get the place that it's all about people glorifying you and your knowledge and your experience and your encounter and your relationship with God, you're done for. You've got to constantly, here's how I feel led to say it, and I'm done. You got to be constantly evaluating your motive, your drive. Why do I want to know more of God? And if the answer to that is anything other than I want to do it for the glory of God, your motive's wrong. And your drive will not last. And sooner or later you'll quit growing if it's not about the glory of God. Does that make sense? I'm tired. Some of y'all look pretty tired tonight yourself. Amen. So we're going to finish there. But understand tonight in this thing of finding the knowledge of God. That's what Solomon said. I want you to find the knowledge of God. When you find it, know that it'll be grace that has brought it to you. Grace helped you find it. And once grace has helped you find it, understand you have a personal responsibility to be growing in the grace of God. Give much thought tonight as you leave here in a moment that there are dangers. There are dangers you open your life up to when you get the place where you're not interested in growth anymore. But give diligence and always check your motivation and drive for why you want to know more about God. And let's make sure we're doing it for the right reason. Let's make sure we're doing it for Jesus' name's sake and not our own. Amen. Heavenly Father.